BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, I'm Lauren Laverne, and this is the Desert Island Discs podcast. Every week, I ask my guests to choose the 8 tracks, book, and luxury they'd want to take with them if they were cast away to a desert island. And, for rights reasons, the music is shorter than the original broadcast. I hope you enjoy listening. My castaway this week is the Paralympian Ellie Simmons. Growing up in the West Midlands, she was a water baby. Her family house had a pool at the bottom of the garden. I sensed swimming was good for my body, she remembers, and I loved being able to move fast. And boy, was she fast. Before she hit double figures, she was swimming competitively, showing the ferocity and speed that would later see her likened to a piranha in the pool. By 2008, at just 13 years old, she was the youngest competitor at the Paralympics in Beijing. She won 2 gold medals, gaining national attention when she burst into tears of relief after her victory was announced. A few months later, she became the youngest person ever to receive an MBE. By 2012, she was the poster girl for the London Paralympics, where she won another 2 gold medals in world record times, followed by another gold and another world record in Rio in 2016. She announced her retirement from competitive swimming last autumn, at the age of 26. More recently, she presented the BBC One documentary, A World Without Dwarfism, exploring a controversial new drug that some argue could bring an end to achondroplasia, the genetic condition she was born with and the most common cause of the disability that has restricted her growth, though not her progress. She says, "I've always been focused ever since I was a young girl, and I've always been really determined." Ellie Simmons, welcome to Desert Island Discs.
Oh, wow. Thank you ever so much for having me on.
Ellie, all that focus and determination was, of course, very necessary throughout your career as an athlete, but I wonder how it's serving you in retirement. You're just 6 months in. Have you got used to not getting up at 4:30 in the morning yet?
It's actually so nice to have extra sleep now. I'm not tired. I've got more energy. But yeah, also, I do miss that routine that I had for so many years.
That hall of medals, world records, you know, international championships, you know, victories left, right and centre. You've been to 4 Paralympic Games, 5 gold medals won there, alongside all your other successes. I wonder which victory meant the most to you, which was the sweetest?
Oh, I have to say it, London 2012, that 400 metres freestyle. I remember going to the Aquatic Centre in Stratford and just seeing it as a building site. So I think it wasn't just about those games, but it was the whole journey going into it. London 2012 made Paralympians household names, so it was going in as favourite, really, for those games.
You were the poster child. There you were, up on the side of the stadium as people walked in.
Yeah, I remember actually being in the Paralympic Village and other teammates and athletes, I remember saying, I had not been to the Aquatic Centre yet, and we'd been training at a different pool in London. And I remember everyone was like, "Wow, Ellie, your face is on this massive poster." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." Like, I was trying to stay focused. But then I remember going on the bus and on the side of Westfield, I was like, "Blinking Nora, that is a huge photo, isn't it?"
All right, we've got the music to hear from you today as well, Ellie. So let's dive into your first disc, shall we? What's it going to be?
This is Heather Small, Proud. This was the song that I think they used in the bid for the 2012 Olympics and Paralympics. I think that was in 2005. I remember the likes of David Beckham, Kelly Holmes being on the TV screen, and London won. This whole song just brings me back to that 2005 moment and that London 2012, and the whole words just means so much to me.
I'm on my way, can't stop me now, then you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud?
Heather Small and Proud. So, Ellie Simmons, you're the youngest of 5 children, I think, born 1994. So it's quite a big family, but there are quite large gaps between siblings, I think. What are your earliest memories of life with your brothers and sisters?
Loved it. It gets me quite emotional when I talk about my family because I just love them so much. We're a very active family. We're always out. Like, I remember my dad just put me on a bike and I was riding round, and that's how I learned, and I was very determined. And we're always outdoors. We were always, like, adventurous.
There's so many activities, but swimming was different. That quote from you at the beginning, you said that you had this sense that swimming was good for your body. Tell me about that. Did swimming bring a sense of freedom? Was it a sense of release? What was it?
I think it was everything. I got amazing social life there, friends, swimming at Bolmere Swimming Club. I remember going to Windley Leisure Centre half an hour before my training would begin so we could play in the changing rooms and run outside, run up and down, swim in the pool for about an hour or an hour and a half, depending on the time. And then I would always be the last one in the changing rooms because I was playing. But I think for me, swimming was just, it's that clearness. There's no impact on the body. It's very much the buoyancy, the feeling of freedom in the water. When you've got all these people watching you, the crowd, they're blanked out to me. And I think that's what it was like as a kid. I was just able to just go up and down, not thinking about anything, that freedom, being able to perfect the strokes, thinking about the drills. I'm a perfectionist even now.
So, Ellie, your parents are of average height and you and your older sister both have achondroplasia. When did you first start to become aware that you were smaller than the people around you?
My parents, they've always, like, told us that we're different. You know, we've got achondroplasia, a form of dwarfism. I've been involved in Dwarf Sports Association since I was a dot, really.
I think you were two when you first swam competitively.
Yeah, since then. So I've been around, like, people the likes of me in that community. So I've always been aware. But I remember I was in Hydeville Tower School in their playground. I think it was, like, year one or year two. I remember being in the corner of the playground. I think we were playing, like, hide and seek or something. And I was the one that was counting.
You were the seeker.
The seeker. And I remember thinking, like, oh wow, like, I'm small. But that's all I remember thinking. Nothing.
So it wasn't positive or negative, it was just realisation.
Like, yeah, just that realisation. Like, oh, I'm small, like, I'm a lot smaller than my classmates.
All right, Ellie, it's time to hear some more music. This is your second choice today.
So I've gone for Own It by Stormzy featuring Ed Sheeran and Burner Boy. This was a song that I played a lot in lockdown. My coach was like, just escape London for a bit. Just come, go home to my parents' house in Aldridge for a weekend, not thinking that 4 months later I'll still be at my parents' house. We had 4 months where we weren't able to access swimming pools. There was the uncertainty of where the Paralympics going to be on. Then finding out they were delayed a year, and I was able to stop. I was able to just be with my parents. And
what, like, was that like for you?
It was just amazing. Like, we got so close. I turned their kitchen into a bit of a gym because no access to a swimming pool. I remember putting these headphones on in the mornings. I would do a gym session or a workout, and this song, I remember, like, rapping to it, and it just reminds me of that lockdown era doing pull-ups in my parents' door frame.
Loving when I put you in your place, I can tell you love it just by looking in your face. It's the way that you wind up your waist, I'm so in awe. Girl, you never have to worry about nothing, you know it's yours, you know you're on it. Girl, you just own it, cause your body's on fire. Show me how to control it, and on it, you still think you're higher. Girl, I love how you hold it, I put my hand there.
Own It, Stormzy featuring Ed Sheeran and Burna Boy. Ellie Simmons, the Paralympic movement really has flourished over the past decade. So young people today have got sporting heroes like you, like Hannah Cockcroft, Johnny Peacock, just to name a few to look up to. But who were your role models when you were growing up?
I remember sitting on the sofa watching Athens 2004 Olympics and Paralympics. I remember Kelly Holmes coming away with 2 gold medals and just being absolutely incredible. But then sitting on the sofa watching Athens 2004 Paralympics, watching Nyree Lewis swim her 100 metres backstroke, S6. I remember seeing her get her gold medal. And I said to my mum, oh, how old do you have to be to go to a Paralympics? Like, what do you have to do? And she was like, you just have to be really good. I think you can go any age. That switch was
light bulb
like...
moment.
Yeah, light bulb moment was like, I want to be a Paralympian. I want to get a Paralympic gold medal. Like, that is my dream. It started on that sofa.
You've put a lot of hard work into your career, but so have your parents, Steve and Val. I mean, the logistics of ferrying you around as a young person and all those early starts must have been punishing for them too. You must be so grateful to them.
Now, as a 27-year-old, you realise what they gave up. You know, I wouldn't have got to the Paralympics without them. I just can't thank them enough for everything. Like, they are my rock.
And in the case of your mum, actually moved to Swansea with you so that you could train in the world-class facilities there, the pool there. Your dad had to stay behind because his business was based where you were growing up in the Midlands. You were just 11. How did you adjust to being away from home and the rest of the family?
I'm very lucky that it was the perfect time. My sister Katie was just going off to university, so it would have only just been me, my mum and dad at home. And we just thought, why don't we just do it? Why don't we make this move? Swansea is a beautiful place. They've got a great school there for me. I can move school, still focus on having an education. Me and my mum, Sunday night, we would drive to Swansea. I would train, do school, Monday to Saturday morning, and then we would drive back home. So it was a three-hour drive.
3 hours, yeah.
Yeah, three-hour drive. I remember just sleeping in the car. And my mum, knew the route so, so well in the end.
Yeah.
And she was so happy when I passed my driving test in January of 2012.
All right, Ellie, it's time for your third disc today. What are we going to hear next and why?
This is Britney Spears, Toxic. It reminds me so, so much of the early days in swimming, the whole time where it was just the most incredible team, both in Swansea and the Paralympic team and the whole world-class program. And we used to always do initiations. And I remember me...
Hang on a minute, what?
Yeah, I know. It varied from karaoke to dancing to dares. Me, Rhiannon Henry, Claire Cashmore. We'd already been on the team for a couple of years, and especially those two girls, they went to Athens, and we put our hands up saying, why don't we do like the first initial like show really to start this initiation off. So we dressed up, we got our little hand luggage suitcases, we dressed like pigtails on the side with boppers on our head, bright red blusher on our cheeks, freckles, like the love freckles type thing, put our shorts on really, really high, you know, when you dance like really like,
and we were like saucy dancing.
Yeah,
that's
saucy
what you're
dancing
right
that's
now.
The word
saucy dancing.
But it wasn't really like that, but we weren't, because it was just absolutely hilarious. And it was to Britney Spears, Toxic. We had a routine, you know, I could probably do the routine now if
you should do it.
Yeah.
And Desert Island Discs listeners should all sort of dance along at home.
Yeah.
Britney Spears and Toxic. So, Ellie, obviously you are gorgeously chatty and friendly, and it's so clear that, you know, you have all these people in your life, lovely relationships with them that you care about immensely. But I also know that your competitive streak is a mile wide.
Oh, hugely.
I've read interviews where you describe your rivals as your enemies.
Yeah.
Bit tongue-in-cheek, but still, you do say it. Are there two Ellies? There's kind of Ellie in the pool and Ellie out of the pool.
Yeah.
So tell me about the other Ellie.
Very focused. In some sense, when I'm in the pool, a bit selfish. I think I notice that more and more now I've left. Very, very competitive. I remember, as a kid, before making Beijing 2008, I had, a whole list of all the swimmers that I wanted to beat. And
Where was it?
It was probably on, a little notebook. But I remember... I used to tick them off every time I won or beat them. Remember,
so you'd be crushed.
Yeah, literally. Literally so competitive. I wasn't like that later on in my career.
It's time for some more music. Tell us about the next disc.
This song, Eminem, Lose Yourself, reminds me so much of London 2012. And not just 2012, but the whole swimming career of those moments in the core room. Before you were about to race both heats finals, you and your... seven, 8 other competitors. You go in the room like 20 minutes before you're about to get called out behind the block. I used to listen to music in the core room. This song would be the last song that I would listen to before my name would get called out, because the lyrics to me, it's like, you've only got one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. And another part of the lyric is, on the surface you look calm and ready, but inside you, you're about to drop bombs. So again, I look very calm, probably. I don't watch myself race back. I don't like see myself on TV, but I remember, yeah, people would probably see my persona on the surface, calm, ready. But in the inside, I would be so nervous, so nervous, shaking. I remember sometimes like feeling like, why am I putting myself through this? But that song reminds me, like, this is why I do it. Adrenaline rush, that whole nervousness, excitement, everything. But I'm about to go out there and I've only got this one shot. You've just got to go out there and give it everything you got. So my competitiveness is linked to this song. So it's so funny because now I don't really like listening to the song. It's only like my core room song, the song that I have to use.
This is other Ellie.
Yeah, this is like that pumped up, competitive Ellie. This is that song where, yeah, if you want to go and get something done, you listen to this and you're like a lion about to be unleashed.
He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his mouth in the music, the moment you own.
Eminem and Lose Yourself. What was the atmosphere like as a home athlete? Because not all athletes get to experience that. A home Olympics is really special.
It was just phenomenal. And that's what I think what I did differently in London 2012 to all the other races that I did. Normally I've got both earbuds, like music ear things, in my ear. I'm so focused on my music and so focused on my head. Whereas London 2012, with that 17,500 people in that crowd, in that pool, I took one earphone out and left the other in. So I'd have a bit of music, I'd still be in the zone, but also soaking in that atmosphere. I remember like the noise when I would walk out on poolside and it would be like a roar. I wanted to soak it in. I want to give it extra because these crowd, they're here to watch me. 10 years from after London 2012 now, I still, when I'm walking around, people say like, oh, I was in the crowd. And they said like, the roof of the pool could have just lifted because of the noise. As soon as I dive in, you can't hear them, which is actually quite nice because you can focus on your swimming. When you touch and there's Ellie got the gold medal or GB got the gold medal, and I would be like, whoa, like so excited and so happy, and like the whole crowd would lift. And especially, do you know that moment when you stand on the podium, it's and you're singing that national anthem, so proud, you're getting your medal. I think everyone's singing that national anthem. It's definitely like, do you know when you've got moments that you'll take to your grave? It's that being on that podium.
And were there more opportunities for Paralympic athletes afterwards as well? For example, you were joint star baker on Celebrity Bake Off. Congratulations. What are your many achievements? You. Add that one to the trophy cabinet.
Like, my chocolate and orange scones are still on the BBC website now. So if you want to go...
The Good Food website.
Yeah. So if you want to go and try them out, they're still there, you know. That's like up there with my medals, you know. I was so busy that one evening... We all got invited to go to Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen. But also, I got invited to go on the James Bond premiere in the same night. So I remember, I was like, I'm double booked. I went to the Queen and I actually remember going into her toilets, quickly getting in, changed into a red carpet moment and thinking, your toilets are so hot. Like, why are your toilets in Buckingham Palace so hot? I was leaving the Queen early to go on a red carpet moment for James Bond. Like, that's
so you're
how
trying to squeeze in the Queen and James Bond on the same night.
Yeah, literally. That's how crazy my life was after 2012.
Ellie, I think we better have some music. What are we going to hear next?
So we're going to hear a Coldplay, Paradise. This song reminds me of the closing ceremony. And not just the closing ceremony, the whole Paralympic movement and the whole Paralympics. Because this closing ceremony, Germany, you had the likes of Coldplay, but also Jay-Z, Rihanna. You know, them two individuals attending a Paralympics closing ceremony, that shows that, like, the Paralympics means something and it showcased what the Paralympics is. But also as well, it reminds me of, like, my teammates, and we changed the song, actually. So do you know how it's like, para, para, paradise? We actually changed the song to para, para, Paralympics. And it's just like this song, and it reminds me of the team and the whole Paralympic movement.
Coldplay and Paradise. You're obviously incredibly disciplined, and I know that at one point around then you kind of knew where you were going to be for the next 4 or 5 years. It was all mapped out. But of course, there are always factors that you can't control. And I know that things didn't go so well with the preparation for Rio 2016 due to what's been described as a hostile environment on the coaching squad.
Yeah.
So what exactly was going on?
That was a horrible time. I left Swansea in 2013, went to Loughborough for some time, and again, that didn't really work out. So I moved to Manchester, to our high performance centre, 2 years before Rio 2016.
Mm-hmm.
There was other Paralympians there. We had a really good group, but also it was definitely, like you say, a very hostile environment. There were certain individuals that, yeah, made it not nice at all. And I think it made me realise, I think looking back now, that I'm aware now of those types of individuals.
So this is in the support network and
the
coaching.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a coach there that was not a nice guy at all. But he put the pressure on us. And I think for us, it was, especially for me, I can only talk about myself, but we would walk into the pool. We were treading on eggshells. We didn't know if he was going to be happy with us or he was going to be in a mood with us. And that's so hard when you're spending the life at your pool. And he definitely, he knocks my confidence hugely. And I'm finally trying to get over it now. I think now I've left the sport, you realise actually he had a bit of a grip on me. It's hard to talk about it, really, because you have those moments that, like, you try and, like, close the door to, do you know, when a person's, like, knocks the confidence, and especially in a sport that I thought I was quite good at. My parents were my rocks during that time.
Did, like, you talk to them about what was happening?
Yeah, yeah. But there's not a lot that you can do, really, because I remember I got, like, IBS really bad because I was so stressed, and I remember, like, crying down the phone. And yes, you've got to be driven. Yes, you've got to get the work ethic, but also there's that balancing act. And I think a happy swimmer is a fast swimmer. I still came away with gold and bronze medal and a PB and things like that. But I know that if I was probably in a better mind frame, I probably would have swam a lot faster.
Ali, let's take a minute for some music. Disc number 6, what have you got for us?
Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. I love this song. It shows as well, like, even that through the darkest times, there's always going to be that spark of sunshine and just that whole groundedness. But also, this song reminds me of my dad. Without them, and especially the likes of that relationship that I have with both my mom, my dad, I wouldn't have got through not just the good times, but the bad times, you know. They're at the end of the phone when I need a cry. They're at the end of the phone when I'm joyous, when I'm bouncing, when I've got amazing news to tell them. I'm like, ring them up. Dad, oh my gosh, this, have you heard about this?
Katrina and the Waves and Walking on Sunshine. So, Ellie, you decided to take a year off from swimming after the 2016 Games to go travelling. Where did you go?
It was just the most incredible year ever. Like, I think I really found myself that year. And I think, like, with the confidence being not the year before, but then I got my confidence back, you know.
What a brave thing to do, especially when you'd had such a difficult experience, to decide to go travelling on your own and also to let go of that timetable, having been so regimented.
Yeah, I think I needed it, you know. Like, I'd been so regimented and so, like, strict and so planned and so organised since I was a kid till when I was 21 that I needed that bit of a freedom. I needed to find who I am. I was like, where shall I fly to today, you know?
Yeah.
I flew to San Francisco, went from San Francisco to Mexico, went from Mexico to Australia, went home, and my friend was like, do you want to come to Paris with me? I was like, yeah, let's go to Paris. With the sport and being able to travel, I'd met so many amazing people all across the world. You get in with them and you message them a cheeky message like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I'm thinking of going to this country. Like,
so you had kind of lily pads to hop to.
Yeah,
you weren't totally
yeah.
adrift. You were also, Ellie, exploring new interests. There's the most wonderful picture of you and a turtle where you're on one of your free dives.
Yeah.
Tell me about free diving. How does it feel to do that?
Oh, it's so liberating. It's so freeing. It's just phenomenal.
How deep can you go? Because it's the depth with free diving.
Yeah, yes. So actually, I think I went to Madagascar about 2 years ago and I free dived to 18 meters. Again, that was static on a rope. And then I remember looking up thinking, oh my gosh, this is so deep, and panicking going back up. But when you're so just focused on your own mind and so relaxed and so tranquil, when you go under the ocean, it looks so scary and so choppy with the waves, but underneath it's so calm. And I remember one time, I think it was in Mozambique, being under and hearing like whales singing to each other and just being like, wow.
On that note, Ellie Simmons, I think we'd better have some more music. What's your seventh choice today and why are you taking it with you?
So my song choice is Unforgettable, French Montana. I think this song reminds me so much of that year of travelling. I was able to be a normal person, go partying, drinking, all that type of thing, which I've never done before. Dancing on the dance floor, having a few too many Jager bombs. That's when I realised what Jager bombs actually are, and they go to your head a bit. Being that whole different side of me, I was normally the Ellie Simmons, the swimmer, very strict, very focused. Whereas that year I was able to just let loose, let be free and find me.
Unforgettable, French Montana featuring Swae Lee. So, Ellie Simmons, we've recently seen you present a documentary on BBC One called A World Without Dwarfism, and in it you explore a new drug which some parents are using to help their children maximise their chances of growing, children born with achondroplasia. How did you feel about the drug when you first heard about it?
I was not a fan. I got really, really angry, first of all, when I first saw it. I was like, why do we need a drug that is going to change us? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be where I am if I hadn't got dwarfism. I wouldn't have met the people that I have, that have the community. And it's amazing community. I'm with my partner, the love of my life. I met him at the charity, you know, and like, it's brought so many people together. And is this drug going to change that? Why would someone adult make that decision for their child to have an injection every single day to change them? And most of all, it was the unknown. What actually is this drug? And I wanted to find out more.
And obviously something that you were fully aware of how controversial this drug was among the dwarf community. How carefully did you have to navigate all of that?
It was more the fact that I wanted to go quite neutral because I wanted to learn. I thought we were at a time of our lives where we're accepting people who are different, either religion, race, colour, disability, but still there's so much more we can do. And that's not just with the Paralympics, but that's in society. That's whole walking down the street. And you want those people, again, with different disabilities, but for me, dwarfism, where they walk down the street and they don't get stared at, they don't get someone taking a photo of them. Just let them do their thing. They are human. For this drug, it's always going to be there, isn't it? It's never going to go away now. We've just got to like help people who are making that choice to maybe not go down that path, to realise, yeah, it's amazing that your child's got dwarfism or it's different. They can leave the most amazing, happy life. They can leave a healthy life. They don't need to inject themselves every single day to be happy. They can be okay without it. And you've got so many other amazing people with not just dwarfism, but other walks of life that are leading the way. And it's great to see that whole diversity and a whole difference in both TV, but off TV and other walks of life. It's just phenomenal.
So listen, I'm about to cast you away. Now, you are my best travelled castaway in some while, let me tell you. So I think you'll be all right with roughing it. I think you'll be free diving for food. How will you get on the island when it comes to setting up camp and the practical side of keeping yourself going?
I think I will be okay. I think I'll probably miss humans because I'm very much a social person. I love chatting. So I'll probably have to start talking to myself. Going on this island would be able to enjoy the simple things. I'll be able to stargaze. I'll be able to go for a swim in the sea. I'll be able to enjoy the sand and hopefully it's hot weather. And yeah, I think I'll be all right fending for myself. I'll make a little boat and go out fishing. And do you know, yeah, I think I'll quite enjoy it actually.
Oh, I can just picture it. I can't wait for you, Ellie. I'm excited. One more track before we let you go though, what's it going to be?
Elton John, Rocket Man. I love Elton, but also I think for me this Rocket Man, it's like now I've left that career behind, I've left that swimming, now I'm going into the next chapter, I'm going into space, I'm going into the unknown. I've retired, but now that whole world is out there. That whole excitement, that whole path, what shall I do? And this song really like resonates that with that. It reminds me of that next chapter, that next world. And yeah, this song for me is that, the new lease of life.
Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
Elton John and Rocket Man. So, Ellie Simmons, it's time. I'm going to send you away to the island. I'm giving you the Bible and the complete works of Shakespeare to take with you. You can also have another book. What will that be?
It would be the Hunger Games trilogy. After like 2012, I started to read more, and this was the first three books that I couldn't put down. I would read them and be hooked on them.
What about a luxury item, Ellie? What would you like?
Can I have two?
You can have one.
I think my luxury item would probably be my diary.
Okay.
I think it's something that's always with me. I've had them for years and years and I collect them. And it's great because I look back at the memories, but also I write down everything on them.
I'm not sure how much is going to be going on in the island, to be fair.
But I could, like, if I see a shooting star, I could write on
it. Sure, yeah.
And again, it helps me keep organised for the future. But also I'll be able to just write my little thoughts and memoirs, and maybe if I want to go fishing on Monday or go digging for sand Tuesday, I'll be able to write it down.
You can schedule your sand digging to your heart's content. I will give you a compendium of your diaries with plenty of space to schedule your busy island life and a pen to do it with. I'll throw that in. Finally, which one track of the eight that you've shared with us today would you save from the waves if you had to?
I would save Elton John, Rocket Man. It brings me joy, and it's a song that, yeah, I would love on the island.
Ellie Simmons, thank you very much for letting us see your Desert Island Discs.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing. Thank you.
Hello, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ellie, and I hope she's happy pottering on her island. If you want to hear more Desert Island Discs, there are more than 2,000 programmes to choose from in our archive, which includes the Paralympians Baroness Grey Thompson and Ade Adepitan. You can find them if you search through BBC Sounds or on our programme website. The studio manager for today's programme was Sarah Hockley, and the producer was Sarah Taylor. Next time, my guest will be the actor David Harewood. I do hope you join us.